Welcome, everyone. My name is Dr. Witkower from the VA South Central Mental Illness Research, Education, and Clinical Center, and I will be your host for today's podcast. Joining me is Dr. Natalie Peterson, a National Program Coordinator from the VA Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program. Welcome, Dr. Peterson.
Thank you. I am honored to be here.
Today, we are talking about intimate partner violence, also referred to as IPV. Dr. Peterson, can you tell me what VA considers to be IPV?
Yes, IPV can be different for different people. It can be verbal or psychological aggression, physical or sexual violence. IPV can involve excessive control, coercion, or stalking between former or current intimate partners.
Can you tell me what you mean by intimate partners?
Yes. An intimate partner is anyone with whom a person has ever had a close intimate relationship, such as spouses, boyfriends or girlfriends, and or romantic, dating, or sexual partners. In the VA's definition, one does not have to have lived with or had a sexual relationship with the individual to be considered an intimate partner. I'd like to highlight that former partners can affect the relationship health and safety of veterans.
So any person who a veteran has had a close, intimate relationship with is an intimate partner. Now, when we think of IPV, we often think of physical violence. Can you give us some examples of the types of physical violence associated with IPV?
You are correct. We often hear about physical violence being associated with IPV. Physical IPV is any violent behavior that is used to hurt, control, intimidate, or disable a partner. It can include actions such as throwing objects, pushing, kicking, biting, slapping, strangling, hitting, or beating, and which can result in serious injury or death. While physical forms of IPV are very concerning, it is important to recognize that other forms of IPV can be detrimental as well.
That is an important point. Can you tell me more about sexual violence within intimate relationships?
Yes, sexual violence includes any attempted or completed sexual contact that is without the other person's consent. It can also involve things that may be less obvious, like forcing someone to participate in pornography, including watching it or being in it, or forcing someone to engage in sexual acts with others. This could include unwanted kissing or touching, or even rape. Sexual forms of IPV also include reproductive coercion with attempts to control a woman's reproductive health. This may include efforts to sabotage contraception or having unsafe sex to purposely impregnate or expose a partner to sexually transmitted infections or STIs. It may also include forced abortion or inflicting injuries that can cause a miscarriage.
Thank you for that detailed explanation. Earlier, you mentioned psychological forms of IPV, which can be more subtle. Could you describe these forms of IPV for our audience?
Yes, that is correct. Sometimes the psychological forms of IPV can go unrecognized, even by those who are experiencing or using them. These include a broad range of behaviors, such as emotional and verbal aggression, coercion, and stalking. Emotional IPV can include yelling, insulting or name-calling, threatening and/or intimidating one's partner. Additional examples of emotional forms of psychological IPV are using coercion, controlling money or other resources, and isolating the person from friends, family, and other supports, including access to health care. For some LGBTQ plus people, this might involve misgendering a partner or threatening to out them to their families, their employers, or others. Stalking is another serious form of psychological aggression and occurs when a person continues to contact, follow, talk to, monitor location, or send things even when they've been told to stop. Repeatedly contacting or monitoring social media and/or email is referred to as cyberstalking. Stalking creates a sense of fear and can significantly affect the well-being of those who are being stalked. Any suspicion of stalking can be reported as it is a crime and can be a threat to personal and workplace safety.
I'm hearing many behaviors that can be IPV. I heard you mention coercion, which really stood out to me. Can you tell me what you mean by coercion?
Coercion refers to exerting emotional control by using psychological strategies to limit the person's freedom and ability to act on their own needs, values, and desires. This particular form of IPV can be subtle and hard to recognize. Examples of coercion include undermining the person's self-confidence or self-worth, or twisting their sense of reality, also called gaslighting.
There are more forms of violence than I realized. I imagine recognizing the subtle warning signs can be difficult. Now that we have a better understanding of the different forms of IPV, maybe you could tell us about who is most likely to experience IPV.
Anyone can experience IPV. IPV doesn't know age, gender, sexual orientation, color, ethnicity, or socioeconomic status. All genders can experience or use IPV. The Centers for Disease Control considers IPV to be a public health epidemic, with 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men reporting having experienced IPV in their lives. I'd like to add that across all genders and ethnic groups, LGBTQ plus people are more vulnerable to experiencing IPV.
You mentioned a lot of groups there. I am wondering, does IPV affect veterans differently as well?
Good question. Many studies show that veterans may be more likely to experience IPV in comparison to the general population.
Why might that be?
Well, veterans and their families experience unique life and relationship stressors, such as frequent and prolonged separations, isolation, and extreme prolonged stress. While these are not causes of IPV, they may contribute to relationship stress and difficulty with communication, trust, and conflict resolution. The presence of these and other prevalent issues, such as post-traumatic stress, mental health concerns, substance abuse, and traumatic brain injuries, could contribute to a higher incidence of IPV use or experience for veterans and their intimate partners.
I can see how these many stressors could contribute to IPV among veterans and their partners. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Peterson. This has been so informative. To recap, we have discussed the foundations of IPV and its impact on veterans. Next time, we will cover the resources and support for veterans from VA.